This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Sullivan. Good afternoon. The first Friday of the month, the day we take your questions about dog training, dog care, dog behavior. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, we welcome your questions. 333-9451, the number in Champaign-Urbana. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 1-800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And I imagine, since it's been quite a while since we spoke with you guys, that there's lots of questions out there. Lots of folks wanting to talk with you.
Well, let's hope so.
I hope so, too. It was before Thanksgiving. We talked with you last beginning of November.
We got bumped in December.
The election continued.
By the U.S. Supreme Court.
That's right.
Well, if you're going to get bumped, you might as well be bumped by...
I went on an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court once, and this was years ago, and we were like 2 days late filing it, and actually, I wasn't the one who did it, but it was another office, but we called up the Supreme Court, and they wouldn't file it at all. It was late, and there's no Supreme Court down the street that you can go to and say, what can we do to fix this? So, we were out of luck. We would have lost the appeal. They wouldn't have taken it anyway. But
I did listen to that.
I did, too. And they seem to be a pretty tough bunch, and I don't think they would take kindly to miss deadline.
They don't scare me.
It wasn't what he said that was so funny, but it's how he said it, I guess.
The way he said it, yeah, he shook his head.
His body language can go quite a bit.
But we've had a lot of dog activity in the last couple months.
Yeah.
I have, anyway.
He has. I haven't.
With your Malamutes, I bet they're...
Oh, we went to the National Specialty, and we went to the Christmas clusters, and we went dog sledding. We had a litter of puppies born.
Oh, no pictures, Tom?
Not with me.
Okay.
This is the DNA litter. It's not our... we're the foster parents. This was the National Club-sponsored program. We're just taking care of the... puppies, we had 12 puppies. 12. No waiting.
So you had puppies, but you didn't have puppies?
The National AMCA, Alaska Malamute Club of America, is trying to develop a DNA test for a certain type of genetic problem.
Mm-hmm.
And these puppies all carry it.
We
know they carry the dwarfism. And we know they carry it, and so we're going to take DNA samples and see who is affected and who isn't. And that kind of stuff. But they're 4 weeks old today. And I say they're annoying. Robin says they're cute.
How can they be annoying at 4 weeks old?
Oh, because they cut you.
Oh.
You have 4 puppies that run at you and start biting your ankle.
They're like 4 weeks old.
Yeah, well, they can be annoying at 4 weeks.
I'd like to see him in about 10 or 15 years. What do you think, Celeste? What will annoy him then?
I wish I lived in the suburbs, because I look forward to being a crabby old man telling kids to get off my lawn, you know, because that's what they used to yell at me all the time.
What starts in middle age?
Oh, well, I could do it now, but I just don't have the lawn.
Probably don't have neighbors real close by.
It wouldn't bother him. He'd go out and yell anyway. He has some cattle next door.
I do go out and yell, but there's nobody there.
Let's talk with the listener.
Oh, listen already.
Yes, we acquired a second dog in September from the Humane Society, and when we looked at her, we didn't notice any problems with her walking, and I've had her x-rayed, and she has hip dysplasia. So I wanted to ask some questions about that, if you could sort of give me some general information. And also, when we looked at her, she isn't really barking much, but she seems to bark all the time when she goes outside, and I have a shock collar for her now, and I just wanted to know the best way to use it and to go about this.
Well, why don't we address the hips first?
Okay.
What do you want to know?
Well, you know, since we've had her, we've noticed that, you know, she's just not as agile as our other dog, and I sort of want to know life expectancy. She's only a year now, so I guess she's pretty severe. She's already got it.
You know, did your vet suggest any surgical methods?
Yes, but they are like $2,500.
just one.
Oh.
Is she on medication now?
Yeah.
Vimido?
Clozapine for building up the fluid between the joints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is she on anything for pain?
I give her a COVID aspirin.
Okay.
Yeah. I just sort of worry that I don't know anybody that's had a dog like this. That am I making her suffer? You know, I guess it's my decision not to get the operations.
You know, they don't have to do a total hip replacement. Have you been to the University of Illinois and consulted with them?
Well, they can do a pelvic for her.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's just as costly. And neither of these remedies are totally pain-free or recommended that they will, you know, be a total fix. So,
what kind of dog is it? I guess we should find out.
She's about, let me see, 46 pounds, and she's got a lab in her, and I've been told probably border collie. And she's full grown now, so she's might grow a bit more, but that's it.
You're from Canada, aren't you?
Yes.
It's a poly.
You know, that is it's a tough situation you're in because you're going to be faced with financial decisions somewhere along the line. The longer you let it go, it's not going to get better.
No.
Well, yeah, I just took a dog to the vet today. He's got this place, but he's 12 years old, give or take. And there are degrees of severity of hip dysplasia. I'm surprised, you can almost never tell that a dog has hip dysplasia just by watching it move. So either the dog just has bad movement, or it is pretty severe.
I'm going to get x-ray the dog.
Yes, I have. She has stairs in our house, and she goes up the stairs so much differently than our other dog.
Does she go up slowly?
Yeah, she's very awkward. And even the way she plays, too. I mean, she plays with other dogs. They have a great time, but she goes for the feet rather than jumping up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of these things that she can't do very well.
How long have you had her?
She's had her since September.
Yeah, when her body's telling her what she can and can't do, they can't compensate for the inability to move.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, the thing is I think she's in pain now. Now, if I start using that bark collar...
Let's not go there yet. Okay. It's so easy. I know what I would do, but I can't tell you what you should do. I mean, if it's a situation that's too financially difficult to even consider. Here's one thing. I will make one suggestion. I don't know who your veterinarian is, but they have such great orthopedic people at the University of Illinois or Purdue or one of the teaching colleges. I would certainly get a consultation with one of them and have them give you some options. That's what I would do. I would set aside, what do you think, Jim? That's what I would have to do. I mean, I've had a course.
I'm trying to think of dogs I know with hip replacement. I can't think of it.
Oh, we've had a couple of the golden head.
Well,
we had TPO, we had hip replacement, one had two.
Hip dysplasia is the ball. For people that don't know, the ball joint in the hip doesn't fit right.
Acetabulum.
The acetabulum is either worn down flat, or the socket is flat, or some degree of flatness. In other words, it's not a nice ball and joint. So either the joint is a little bit flat, or the bone is, instead of being like a spear, is a little bit flat. And it can be very flat. We had a dog that had her hips were, she was so dysplastic, they couldn't get her in the position to take the picture. She never had a day of pain, and about a week before she died, she leaped in the air and took a pigeon out of the sky. So it just depends. Having hip dysplasia isn't the problem, necessarily. It's the arthritis that goes along with it.
That's right.
That's what, and the inflammation that causes the pain. And you can get anti-inflammatories and things like that. Usually, if you don't have bad dysplasia, moderate exercise is the best thing for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always concerned when you start doing hip replacement surgeries and but you know, the dog's miserable for a long time. In order not to be as miserable for a short period of time, you know, it's not the expense that would bother me so much, but I just don't think it helps the dog that much.
Mm-hmm. It's a big decision. There's no doubt about it.
And you know, given all the dog. Who will be out of commission for months and months and months, for a condition that you know, I've got arthritis in my feet, arthritis in my hands.
But you're not a year old.
Well, no, but it's annoying, but and it is painful. Am I on?
Unfortunately, I think you are.
Oh,
arthritis in your feet and hands.
I do. And last night I was trying to get a sleep in my foot just. Very much, and I couldn't get to sleep till it stopped. And it's annoying, but it's not, you know, overwhelming. I'd have to see the dog and all that.
No, your point's well taken, too. The dog may not be in pain. Her physical structure may be inhibiting her movement and making it appear so much different.
Yeah, or she may be compensating for the dysplasia. The thing is, there's a organization called the OFA, the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals. They actually read X-rays of hips and give opinions as to how badly the dog is dysplastic. And it's a service that costs, about $20. And they grade it, you know, fair and all that sort of stuff.
Good,
excellent, fair, poor. They have those kinds of ratings. So you can... And no offense to my friends who are local vets, but the ortho, you know, they do hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of x-rays a year, and they have a better idea of what dysplasia looks like. So, but it has to be taken in a certain way, in a certain position, and all that kind of stuff. You might consider getting an OFA opinion. The vet would know what that was.
I would still go to the U of I.
That's
what I would do.
Go to the U of I and get some options from them. That's always a good idea.
It's money well spent, believe me.
Okay, well, it sounds like there are some options.
I wouldn't use a shock collar, except under the most extreme circumstances.
Not for barking in the yard.
Not for barking in the yard. If the dog is going to be euthanized, if it doesn't stop barking, then you know you have to start thinking about extreme measures, but this doesn't sound extreme. Well, what kind of barking does she do?
Well, it's just that if you let her outside, she just... I don't know if she's feeling insecure, you know, she's out in the yard. My other dog doesn't bark hardly at all because she's a golden mix, and they just don't seem to bark much. But she'll just start barking, and I find it annoying because it seems like the only way I can stop her is by bringing her in.
Well, that's what you have to do then.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually she'll learn that when she barks and I stop, it's the end of being outdoors, which is, you know, for most dogs is enjoyable. And just bring her in, and don't scold her or punish her. Just bring her in. Don't pay attention to her.
Mm-hmm. So you don't suggest a shock collar?
No.
But the other thing is, barking dogs are a problem. If she's going to bark when you let her out during the day when it's not going to disturb anybody. If you get neighbor complaints and you have to do sorts of things, when does she bark? Does she just bark when she's outside?
Well, you let her out the door and she'll, you know, start wolfing a little bit, and then, you know, if she hears a little bit of a noise, it'll bark. Not particularly at anything, you know, really. And then she'll come in. I don't know. It's just kind of odd. You know, maybe
well,
she
might just be
it.
Barking because she just, it's kind of self-reinforcing. You know, she gets to hear herself bark and it's more exciting. Hey, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
She could be saying, I really didn't want to be out here in the first place.
There are a thousand reasons for dogs to bark.
But I would just bring her in and please don't use a shock collar on her for something that's just an annoying problem right
now. Little things you can do. Here's what you can try to do anyway. Remember to train the dog not to bark. We've said this before. You have to train the dog to bark. Why is that, Jim? Well, because when you say don't bark to the dog, the dog has no idea what you're talking about. So it first has to have the concept of what it means to bark. So you can start using the word speak, you know, giving her a cookie or something like that, and get her to bark. Once she'll bark reliably on command, then you can do one of two things. Never give her the command. A lot of dogs, if they do something bad, you train them to do it the bad thing on command, and then you don't give them the command. And a lot of dogs are fooled by that. But you can also then start having her bark and having her stop, and you come up with a command for stop, like stop, you know, or hush or something like that. So you say, speak, arf, 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 hush, and then good dog for hushing. Then when she's outside, if she's barking and being annoying, you can say, Fido, hush, and she'll stop. Because at that point, she'll have a command that she understands what it means. But if you just have a dog and you say, be quiet, you know, they don't know what it means. Now, the interesting thing about the shock collar, obviously, is the dog barks and its neck gets electrocuted. It's like the shaken baby syndrome. That'll shut them up. It's pretty painful and pretty traumatic for the dog. If you have a dog that has arthritis, as you've observed, you know, then both her front end and her back end will be in pain.
Okay.
And so it just depends on how annoying the barking is.
What about when I walk her, because she does really kind of go overboard with the barking if she sees another dog.
Mm-hmm.
I have two dogs. My other dog could care less, really, you know, as long as the other dog's not bothering her. But my new dog, well, you know, she just goes full tilt, and that's when pulling comes in and everything. Should I make her sit?
Well, an obedience class wouldn't hurt, and making her sit won't hurt. But remember, dogs bark because they're dogs, and it's a perfectly natural thing. There's nothing wrong with it. We find it annoying because we're people and we're in a social situation. But it sounds to me like, what's this dog's name?
Pepper.
It sounds to me like Pepper is regards herself as the low dog on the totem pole. That's fine. This is Jim's theory, by the way, and you can try it and see if it works. In a wolf pack, and dogs are essentially wolves, the job of keeping guard goes to the lower echelon wolves. So the alphas sit around and bask in the sun, and the other subordinate wolves keep guard. When something disturbing comes up, wolves hardly ever bark. And the only time they'll bark is when an intruder comes in, and then they'll bark. And, you know, not...
But only a lower echelon wolf.
Well, right? Who's ever on the guard at the time?
Nobody.
And generally, it's because of another wolf. You know, they don't bark at food, but right away. They don't bark at rabbits. They don't bark at deer because they'll go, arf, arf, arf. And they
don't see UPS trucks, do they?
Yeah. But when they see food, they don't say anything. When they see another wolf, that could be danger, you know, because of the territory. It's still not that much. I think it's the collie in your dog, not the lab. But collies, we've selectively bred the herding dog to nip and bite. Nip, I should say, and bark, and that's how they herd sheep and cattle. So your dog, lower echelon, sees another dog, immediately sets up an alarm. Look out, it's another dog. What you should do, see, this is all the theory. What you should do when your dog starts barking, normally you'd say, be quiet, Pepper. Instead of doing that, yeah, I want to make sure you're still there. Instead of doing that, you have alerted me to the problem, and I'm so glad you're a good dog, give her a cookie. Why do you do that? Because she's there saying, look, there's a danger, look at that other wolf over there, and you're saying, shut up, be quiet, and she's saying, you don't understand, there's another wolf over there, you're saying, shut up, shut up. So your reaction to her barking is what's making her bark more. But if you say, I see the danger, thank you, now you can be quiet because you've alerted me, they will tend to be quiet. It's a little harder outside when you see another dog. That works, I think, pretty well in the house when they bark at the door, something like that. But you can try that on the outside. It's kind of counterintuitive. It's not what you'd think. And also carry dog biscuits with you, so when she starts barking, you can reward her. And you can also use that to train her to bark.
Oh, I see. So if she's barking and then I get her to be quiet, then I give her a treat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You train her to bark first, by rewarding her, and then you reward her for stopping.
Okay.
Then when you're out walking, she starts barking. You say, thank you, good bark, or whatever your command is. Now hush. You know, I'm alert to her.
Okay.
Yeah, and good point. These things don't come immediately. You know, the first thing. But I'll tell you this: in my training classes, I tell people when they have a barking dog, if a dog barks, you can do anything. It doesn't matter. You can hit them, you can praise them, you can give them a cookie. They are going to shut up for about a second. Right? If you make a loud noise, they'll shut up. And it's in that second you have to reward them. So if you say hush, and she'll hush. She won't know what it means, but she'll just be startled. So no matter what you do to a barking dog, almost always they'll stop for a second, and you got to be ready with the cookie. Boom, right away. Reward that shutting up.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Good
and don't,
luck.
Don't hit her with a baseball bat. I'm sorry I said that.
You're not sorry.
I'm not. I'm repentant.
Questions about dogs are welcome this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest, Jim and Carol Lindholm. And you know what? In the way of them, I don't have any cookies, but I've got to say here that we need to reward better microphone placement. Jim is too close, and Carol,
oh,
I think you're
sorry.
A little too far away.
Oh, we've only been doing this for how many years?
Well, I don't. Yeah, generally we do a good job. I think we're out of practice.
That's it. That must be it.
We set up fine, and I leaned into it. When
you were
really excited about that. About his theory.
That's my theory. Jim's theory.
Actually, you know, I had my last class. I had two schnauzers who kind of fed off one another, barking. But the one barked, and I'm convinced that his theory is being borne out because he was telling his owner, there's not just one dog here, there's 11, and 11 people, and he was afraid. A lot of it was fear-driven, but he just barked, barked, barked. And then we started to work with him a little bit, and she became more comfortable and wasn't so rattled by this constant barking. And by the end of the 10 weeks, he was about 98% improved as he'd been when he first came into the class. So, but she worked constantly with that dog, constantly.
But it paid off.
It paid off.
Let's talk with another listener on line 2 in Whiteheath. Good afternoon.
Yes, we adopted a 2-month-old puppy about 3 weeks ago. We're first-time dog owners, and it's become clear to us that we need help. And I'm not trying obedience classes for her, and wondering if you can guide me in a good direction. Champagne, Urbana area.
You're a white human?
Right.
you could go to Decatur, or you can come to Champaign.
Champaign would be easier.
Both have fine training clubs.
Matter of fact, we start a week from Monday.
And we invite the Champaign Dog Training Club, Champaign, Urbana.
Okay.
And we promote ourselves. There are many fine trainers in the area. We like to think we're the finest.
Well, what you want is our puppy kindergarten class.
Is he still 2 months old?
Almost 3 months.
Oh, no. Well, what kind of dog is it?
Half basset hound, half collie.
Oh, what an interesting looking dog that looks
like. I have this image of it being high in the rear and low in the front.
She's more basset than collie.
Well,
give a call.
Here's
the phone number. Are you ready?
Yes.
328-7108.
328-7108?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The classes will start in about 2 weeks, and I think it might be at the discretion of the instructor. Robin, do you think Puppy K is going to
Puppy K, yeah, Robin is. But we also have
Puppy K. Okay.
Yeah, and that might work, too.
Yeah. A lot of the techniques don't really work as the dogs get older. And bigger. This is a family program. So
how big is it?
Oh, she's big.
How much does she weigh? I've got a 4-week-old puppy that we leave now.
Oh, okay. Bring that up.
give a call, and you'll talk to one of our trained. But probably either one will be fine.
And you know what's fun about going to classes? You're all alone and so lost. You find out that maybe your dog's not as bad as you thought it was.
Okay. Well, I think she has potential for being... she was very quiet and mellow when we got her. It's possible that she's trying to find her placement in the family.
Yes. And that would go on for another year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's become kind of aggressive, particularly with the youngest child in the family, who's 10 years old. Biting at her heels and...
Yeah, that's not really good.
That doesn't...
You have to be very careful when you use those terms.
Okay.
The puppies will typically play with children in that way because they kind of regard them as equals.
Oh, okay.
And if you have that 10 puppies,
annoy you.
That are annoying, and the way they play is they bite each other, and that's what they think is play. So when your puppy sees your child and says, "Okay, we're equals, let's play," they naturally think of nipping at the heels.
He runs his screams and those kind of things. Kind of
aggression is a stronger and gets more. So you do want to jump on.
But you'll find out
it's not unusual.
You'll find out the fact that everybody has those types of problems and they'll help you deal with them.
Well, I figure it's typical, but in the training classes, are children in the family involved?
Yes.
You might want to pick that up and read it. It would help a lot.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
He runs to me all the time. He's kind of a wimpy dog. That morning I was using a magic marker and he got scared of the sound and ran underneath the table. But he kind of treats me as if I'm mommy protector. And then he won't listen to anybody else. He won't listen to my husband and take orders from me. I'm not spending the week. Or he will obey my husband if I'm there, but not if I'm not. What should I do with that?
What do you mean by obey? What orders?
Come with me. And he won't come to my husband if I'm not in the room. But if I'm in the room, he'll go.
Have you had him since he was a puppy? So you have this problem, he's now 4?
A lot of time and give him a lot of attention, it gets better.
I think the answer is...
this is our instant analysis here. Dogs have to be trained, and training isn't necessarily giving them orders. It's trying to shape their, we can use that word, shape their behavior so that they do what we want them to do, but not the reasons we want them to do it. For example, if your dog comes to you and you say, show, we have 20-some dogs. So I say, come on, boys, let's go back in our runs. And they... Now, I could say, come fight over. Nothing from it. It gets no response. It's not worth it for them to come to it. All right? And that takes a bit more time to come to you. But obviously, if they come to you and you hit them, sensitive, and when the dog comes, you say good dog and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And home with the dog myself. Out of every day, but just to give the dog the, attention.
Pieces and said, Fido, come here. And the key to this is him, and then when he comes, say, oh, here's a surprise, here's a reward.
Yeah.
You say, I've got this. Not really that unusual. The kinds of example that we have, especially females like Robin, and some of them actively don't like, now they're not vicious to me or anything, but they would feel like about me, you know. And, when we go someplace or when in the house, they go up to Robin. We've got Tommy, the big white dog.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to me.
He's clearly
not Robin. And Robin calls him, it's a different problem for some of her, but he likes me. And so the fact that your dog prefers one person over another isn't that unusual for a dog. In other words, dogs aren't all lassie, you know. They don't necessarily love everybody. They're a lot like humans, you know. You know a lot of people, you don't like them all. It's kind of hurtful. This is your dog, and he's ignoring you. But in this case, it's not. I don't think that the dog dislikes your husband. He likes you
more,
and he'd rather be with you than with him. And okay, your husband can do these various things to try to make friend, you know, make better friends.
Or to make himself more appealing to the dog.
So but, I was wondering if I should try
affection. Mm-hmm. If we can call it that, on the part of your husband, not decreased on
the part of you.
Okay, thanks for the call this afternoon. Good luck. All through the years, when growing up, something that we've always done all along, and then it was with my brothers and folks, and
but he didn't want to communicate to her what he wanted to do. He doesn't do that. But no, my dogs like me more. They just know.
Well, the dog came up and said, I like you. I don't need you. Essentially, that's what I'm saying to the dog. And the other thing is, ignoring a dog is an extremely dominant thing to do. Subordinate wolves come up and they go, ooh, and greet, 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 and the alphas just turn their head and look at them. Very, very dominant. And so, that it may be the person is ignoring the dog inadvertently.
It wasn't even necessarily applied, but I know that. If voices are ever raised, then boom. if anything else, you know, if I just really want to get my point home, just taking a look at what my raised voice has done for them, even if I do not that can help it. And I have a great relationship. But this gentleman, you know, and it is annoying.
Jump up in between them.
That's right. Little peck head.
That's right.
Mentioning that in the maybe people just, I don't know.
Do we have a caller?
We don't.
Okay. We placed a dog with a guy years ago. I think I may have mentioned it on the air. He gave us the dog back after several months because the dog left everybody. And he wanted the opposite. At this point, he wanted the dog that only liked him. And I thought, well, didn't we tell him that friendship, our house, some of the dogs.
What a great thing, though.
He's a stranger, comes over, and the dog's licking it. So it was like, yeah, I want a one-man dog. I don't want one of these dogs that
licks. He must have read, what? Late Fame or what?
Well, at the end of Call of the Wild Buck, you know.
Buck and Kickoff? Yeah.
The guy's dying. He says, well, see you later.
Didn't he wait till he was dead?
No. That might have been dead, but I don't think Buck would have been. I never actually read the book.
See, I knew
you know,
he was lying to me.
Maybe they didn't ask the caller. I don't think it. Maybe I didn't sound carefully. Maybe she alluded to this, but, you know, does her husband feel bad about this, or does she feel bad about it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Her husband might not
She
care.
Said it was causing a problem.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
But from that, I
do get... He might feel bad about it. What struck me was the word orders. And said, with Melody, you just don't give orders.
Well, orders, giving orders implies her attitude.
You can give a dog orders, but they have to be trained, you know, so that they understand what the order is and what it means and what they have to do and that sort of thing. But come to me, your first dogs will come to you, but not necessarily because it's
Proud time.
Went back.
It sure did.
And you know what? Next month is February already, and it'll be warm. Spring will be on the way.
I don't know what February you live in. All the Februarys I've had have been
February always is like month, isn't it?
I don't think so, Carol.
Oh, well.
Who knows?
My birthday's in February, so that's why I thought.
Maybe we'll have
a good friend early this
February.
That's correct. Give him a big pat for that.
Jim Keel and Carolyn Holm have been our guests today, and we'll see them on the first Friday of February. Okay?
Have a great month.
You too.
Don't forget there are 2 hours in February.
February.